There seems to be a misconception regarding my motives and intentions, which, frankly, I'm a little surprised about because I've been fairly transparent, particularly about the fact that I am in no way a men's rights advocate. I'm going to go into some detail about my position, but I think it needs to be explicitly stated from the outset, I am not pro-male. What I am is pro-Coltane. Now, they're not completely mutually exclusive positions. I mean, obviously, to the extent that Coltane is a man, there are overlapping goals, but I am not here to save men. I am not here to save you, and I am certainly not here to save the institution of traditional marriage. I mean, shit, even if I actually wanted to do that as a matter of principle, I would have thought it was rather obvious to anyone that follows my stuff that as a matter of practice, I don't think it's feasible to sway the civilizational superorganism of humanity through sheer will and good intentions. That being said, I'm ultimately about doing what is best for me, and that means having the most accurate view of the world around me so that I can make the most informed decisions possible. I try to shed as many unrealistic expectations of reality and the human animals that inhabit it as I possibly can. So to inform my decision-making process as best I can, I make a lot of observations about reality and in particular, the way men and women interact with each other. I try to be as objective as possible, and I share these observations and ideas with you guys under the possibly arrogant belief that maybe my observations and ideas will prove a useful resource for you as well, but ultimately, what you choose to do with this information in my video is entirely up to you. I'm not here to browbeat and tell you how to live your life. Now, I feel like a scratched record saying this, but I am only really concerned with description, not prescription. My stuff is not about what men and women should or shouldn't do, it's about what men and women actually do as a matter of course. How does the human animal socially function? Should men and women break their marriage vows by cheating? Should men and women break their marriage vows by getting divorced? Should men and women be making those unrealistic, unsustainable, till death do us part vows in the first place? I don't fucking know. All I can tell you as a matter of fact is that men and women do cheat on each other. Men and women do get divorced, and men and women still do get married despite many of them being acutely aware of the statistics beforehand. If you still want to play the marriage game, fucking have at it. It's not my problem, it's not my life, and I'm not here to tell you what you should or shouldn't do with your life. What I will say is that as you navigate your way through life, the best decisions you can make for yourself will always be informed by the reality of what is, rather than any fanciful idea of what should be. There's an old saying that you can't trust a dog, but you can trust a dog to be a dog. And I think that saying goes double for people. Now, the intended topic of this video is something of a convoluted issue, but I think a good place to start would be a follow-up to some of the things I said in my last video and the various responses to that. There's a number of different ways to phrase the sentiment, but the main thrust from objectors seem to be that by fucking a married woman, you're somehow hurting or doing harm to another man. I'm sure a few of you are nodding your heads to that statement, but when I think about it with any degree of depth, it actually reminds me a lot of the gay marriage debate. The sentiment from religious conservatives that allowing gays to marry will somehow ruin marriage for straight people. And the question that quite rightly needs to be asked in response is how? And I think that same question needs to be asked on the issue of infidelity. I mean, it's a commonly accepted tenet, but why? In what capacity does having legal consensual sex with a woman somehow cause actual harm to another man? What it really comes down to is that his feelings will get hurt, and the reason they get hurt is because they were based on unreasonable expectations of his wife, of his marriage, of human relations in general. The harm, this hurt that he feels, stems not so much from the extramarital sex itself, but from the lie he unwittingly accepted about marriage in the first place, and the stark realization that he's since based his life on that lie. In the simplest possible terms, what we are effectively talking about here is a completely blue pill man experiencing a very sudden and very intense onset of red pill rage. Had he gone into the marriage with a more reasonable expectation that she'll eventually leave him or cheat on him, or perhaps even that he'll eventually want to leave her or sleep with other women, it's hardly going to be earth-shattering when the inevitable does happen. I know that sounds incredibly harsh and cynical, but reality doesn't really give a shit about your moral scruples. And if you want to pursue relationships, that's unfortunately the reality of human nature that you have to face. To continue to pretend otherwise, I think, is like a grown-up version of the Santa Claus myth. I mean, really, the man is emotionally hurt in the same sense that a child is emotionally hurt when he discovers Santa Claus isn't real. You know, he's been lied to. What he thought was true all along wasn't. Magic doesn't exist. And the cookies that he left out for jolly old Saint Nick were actually being gobbled down by somebody else. He's been cucked. But it's really all in his head. The fact is that nothing tangible about reality has actually changed from one moment to the next. Santa Claus didn't actually exist in his prior state of ignorance. The only thing that really changed is the child's understanding of the real world. Likewise, the hurt is not that some other faceless man has broken or stolen the integrity of his relationship, it's the understanding that the true nature of his relationship was never clear from the beginning. The very fact that she's out chasing dick at all means that she was never really the perfect, incorruptible little angel he thought he was marrying in the first place. I hope he doesn't mind me sharing, but a subscriber called AVFCPhil1313 left this excellent comment that sums up a lot of my thoughts. Quote, "Would you be happy knowing that the only reason your wife didn't cheat on you was because every man she approached rejected her? As soon as the woman offers sex to Coltane, she has cheated as far as I'm concerned, and whether or not Coltane accepts the offer is irrelevant." End quote. I think that comment shows in fairly unequivocal terms why the marriage vows of the woman are not the responsibility of the guy she fucks. I mean, just by propositioning other men, any marriage vows that she's made about trust and loyalty have already been broken at that point, before the guy accepts and long before any sex actually takes place. But this thought experiment also outlines a very interesting scenario where she doesn't actually engage in sex at all, but for all intents and purposes has still effectively cheated the marriage. Her very intention to break the vows, her very actions taken to break those vows, is the actual cheating itself. Even if she ultimately fails to capture the cock she's after, the very fact that she's tried means that any pretense of respect for that marriage is gone at this point. I think this represents a moment of clarity as to why so many people collectively lost their shit about this issue. This desperate need to shift at least some portion of blame onto the third party seems like a scapegoat, entirely designed to obscure the true implications of internal marital relationship structure. If, like this thought experiment outlines, you can take any willing third party out of the equation entirely, all you are left with is how the wife truly values her husband. Again, would you be happy knowing that the only reason your wife didn't cheat on you was because every other man she approached rejected her? If it can't be blamed on some other evil man maliciously swooping in and stealing her from him, it therefore means that it was an entirely conscious, unilateral, and premeditated decision on the part of the wife to cheat on the husband. After all the sickness and health and whatever else, he means that little to her. That, I think, is a very hard pill to swallow, and the mere acknowledgement of it probably causes a strong bout of cognitive dissonance in most men. You know, if if there is no other Lothario lurking in the shadows to blame, if all that exists in this marriage equation is the man and his cheating wife, then there is almost an implicit acknowledgement that the husband has failed in some capacity to keep her. I'm not trying to blame the husband for his wife cheating on him, but I suspect his feelings would very much be along the lines that the situation is somehow partially his fault and his failing. I think a lot of the moral outrage I've seen is ultimately a coping mechanism for this fact. If you can scapegoat the other man for your wife's actions, then you can avoid the truth and the internal dissonance that comes along with it, that someone who you thought you could trust did that to you with conscious malice of forethought. Now, this is where we get to the brotherhood. You know, don't be a bitch, don't cause harm to another man. Consider this scenario. You're at a bar and a friend has introduced you to a girl. You know, you're hitting it off, things are going great, and then there's this guy that's hanging around her and he's buying her drinks and fawning over her. And when he leaves, she turns to you and says, "That guy is totally in love with me, but it's never going to happen." Basically, I mean, that guy's in the friend zone. So here's the question. Things are going well. Do you take this single girl home? I mean, if we're just going on the straight, you know, don't do harm to another man, sleeping with another man's wife is doing harm. I mean, she's not in a relationship, but this guy is clearly in love with her. And if you sleep with her, that's going to hurt his feelings, right? Is he part of the brotherhood? Are you supposed to consider his feelings? For all of these accusations of moral relativism, the fact is that you do treat people differently, whether they're friends or family or complete fucking strangers. I mean, I'm friends with Stardust, you know, we trust each other, we talk a lot. And, you know, I've done graphics work for him, the animations on his channel, I did those. And when he offered me money for it, I declined because I don't mind doing those kind of favors for friends. Obviously, I'm not going to go out and start doing free graphics work for every fuckhead on the internet. That would be stupid. But that's essentially what's being argued here. And it seems to be argued on the basis of the brotherhood. One of the things that irks me the most about feminism is this idea that women are just automatically entitled to your respect without actually doing anything worthy of it. No, you need to earn that shit. Things like respect and trust and loyalty are not simply given by fiat, they are earned. And that goes equally for men. I don't give women a free pass and I don't give men a free pass either. Now I know like some people love to accuse guys like me and Stardust of being misanthropists. This isn't misanthropy. I don't hate people. This is more like a social null hypothesis. When we first meet, I don't hate you, but I don't start off from a position of assumed trust either. I'm not going to tell you all of my deepest, darkest secrets the second we meet. That kind of trust has to be earned over time. And I really think that this sense of brotherhood obscures that. What does this sense of brotherhood mean in terms of real, tangible outcomes? Personally, I think this automatic assumption of trust and loyalty embodied in the brotherhood sets up a truly unrealistic expectation of other men and your relationship to them. There was a particular sub who objected to my last video. I won't name him, but amongst his ravings about what a hypocritical asshole I am, apparently for positions I never actually held, is this amazing little statement. Quote, "I'm gay. So I'm always going to be neither. In fact, I can live a life that is just as easy and comfortable of Coltane's as well as have a romantic partner," end quote. And I have to wonder exactly what the basis for this fanciful belief is, because according to many of the statistics that now exist in Scandinavian countries like Norway and Sweden, gay men who get married are marginally more divorce prone than their straight male-female counterparts. This assumption about same-sex male marriage is rather exemplary of the problem I'm talking about. The brotherhood doesn't exist, and thinking you can safely sign a marriage contract with anyone because of some ethereal sense of brotherly trust in other men is frankly just as fucking stupid as doing it with a woman. You know, it's a well-known fact, at least in our little corner of the internet, that as men, you are actually twice as likely to be assaulted and mugged than a woman is. Where's the brotherhood there? Strange men are not your friends. They are not your brothers. I mean, just look at this supposedly pro-male community here on YouTube. The nastiness and the doxing that goes on is fucking poisonous. And virtually everyone I can think of that's been doxed recently, like CS and Kraut and T, they weren't doxed by rabid SJW feminazi Lives Matter folks. They got doxed because they prematurely trusted and shared private information with other men in their own damn community who had not yet proven their character. Because they were men, because they were anti-feminists, because they were atheists or self-proclaimed skeptics, whatever else, value judgments and assumptions were made about the quality of the other person's character, assumptions which turned out to be faulty, and as a result, docs got dropped. Just like women, I don't care if you're a man. I do not hold a sense of blind brotherhood. You don't owe me anything, but I don't owe you anything in return. There are individuals that I trust, like Stardust and CS. They earned that trust, and I like to think that I earned their trust as well. And, you know, that's also not to say that I won't let more people into my life in future. Obviously, I won't be signing any marriage contracts, but there are women who've earned my trust too. It happens on a per-individual basis. The brotherhood, the sisterhood, really any identitarian ideal that obscures this is not going to be a good basis for making informed life choices. As the saying goes, there's no honour amongst thieves, well, there's also no brotherhood amongst men either. Frankly, it doesn't fucking matter whether you're married or you are just some love-struck guy in a bar. I am sorry to say this, but if I don't know you, I don't owe you anything, and neither does anyone else. You need to get right with that reality, otherwise you are going to have a hard time in life. For me personally, I believe the whole idea of marriage is a complete fucking farce. Despite the ostentatious gold and diamond rings they flaunt, clearly someone who's out to cheat thinks their marriage is bullshit too. Beyond cheating, half of all marriages end in divorce, with almost half of those happening in the first 5 years. So what does that say about the institution and all of those sacred vows that are made between man and wife? At some point, Till Death Do Us Part turned into only as long as it's convenient, and people seemed more than happy to go along with that institutional shift, as the overwhelming majority of people, all running on evolutionary autopilot, continue to marry and divorce and remarry and cheat on each other. What is and what should be? In a perfect world, I guess people would always honour the vows they make to each other and live happily ever after in holy matrimony. Well, I'm sorry to ruin your favourite childhood fairy tale, but we don't live in a perfect world. We live in the real world. And in the real world, people are messy, fickle, indecisive creatures of instinctual biological desire, instant gratification, and ideological contradictions. That's the fucking reality. Regardless of what you want, that is what you have to deal with, and slipping a gold ring on and mumbling a few half-hearted vows about sickness and health doesn't change that, especially as the chemical cocktail we call love slowly fades over the years until you're just left sharing your home with a person that you probably wouldn't even hang out with socially given other options. Marriage is not meant to last, and everyone would probably be better off if they stopped pretending that it was. As long as they are pretending, whatever voluntary agreement or vows two individuals may have personally made to each other, it's not my responsibility to uphold. It's not yours either. Yeah, you know, we never made any vows, and as individuals, we don't owe either of these people or their farcical relationship a damn thing. In all of this nonsense and moralistic soapbox preaching and armchair mental diagnosis that followed in the comments section, the only argument I saw that was even remotely compelling on this issue is that if the husband finds out his wife, you know, his wife cheated on him, he could resort to violence against the third party. And I'll grant that is a risk. I guess in the end, you really have to weigh up the odds and decide for yourself what level of risk you're willing to take in order to enjoy your life to the fullest. I ride a motorcycle, and that's a pretty fucking big risk too. There is a well-known saying amongst motorcycle riders, however, that some people die early, but other people never truly live. I'm not some PUA pussy-worshipping sycophant out chasing married women, if that's the impression you've gotten. But if a woman is actively showing interest in me and it turns out that she's married, I wouldn't necessarily turn my nose up and pass on a good time either. Not because men who go their own way are supposed to be celibate monks, not because of this imaginary brotherhood, and certainly not on the basis of someone else's sad, idealistic belief in an outdated religious tradition, a tradition which apparently his very own wife doesn't particularly give a shit about.